Thank you for joining this lesson. I was realizing that it was a year ago last week, a year ago, that we were actually locked down by the state. We were unable to assemble more than 10 people and had to worship in homes. And it's been a whole year, and God brought us through it. I believe that your faith will become weaker or stronger after being tested like this. And of course, the purpose of a test of faith is not to make us weaker, it's to make us stronger. And I pray that your faith is growing. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. We're going to look at a paradigm-shattering historical event, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, they thought they had planned the perfect murder. The fake high priest had planned the perfect murder of the true high priest. They thought they had the perfect plan. Judas, a disciple of Jesus, would betray him at night so that they could arrest Jesus in the dark, away from the crowds to avoid a riot. They thought they had the perfect cover-up, forcing Pilate to condemn Jesus for treason against Rome. It would be on Pilate's hands. They thought they had planned the perfect murder and the perfect cover-up. They didn't realize it wasn't really Jesus on trial. They were the ones on trial. By killing Jesus, they condemned themselves. And Satan, who thought he would have a victory, it actually brought about his defeat. We need to understand that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a paradigm-shattering historical event. Read with me in verse 13, Luke chapter 24. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so that they could not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is that you are having with one another, as you walk and are sad?" Then one whose name was Cleopas answered and said, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which have happened in these days?" And he said, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things have happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." The resurrection of Jesus is such a paradigm-shattering historical event that even his own disciples couldn't understand it. A paradigm is a worldview framework. A lot of times a worldview is just a patchwork of beliefs gathered like driftwood over many years and wired together and with duct tape and baling wire and some JB Weld. And most people don't even question their paradigm, because that would require introspection. That would require metacognition, actually thinking about your thoughts, actually questioning your thinking about your thoughts. And any paradigm, any worldview is not free from your own biases. People believe what they want to believe for their own purposes. And that's why some paradigms are popular. They become the spirit of the age. Even the news is no longer news, it's narrative. It has to fit the correct narrative of the prevailing paradigm. And so false paradigms cause all kinds of confusion and despair. Evolution is a paradigm. Atheism, socialism, Marxism, communism, fatalism, Calvinism, these are all paradigms. Critical race theory, all the gender dysphoria nonsense, this is all paradigms. Blaise Pascal says, the heart has its reasons, which reason knows nothing of. So the resurrection was a paradigm-shattering historical event, which is why even the disciples couldn't understand it. Jesus is walking with them, but they don't recognize him. Why? Because the crucifixion was not what they expected to happen. It wasn't a part of their paradigm. The death of the Messiah did not meet their expectations or fit their preconceived views of the Messiah. They were thinking of the Messiah in other terms, maybe nationalist Israel terms, a national savior of Israel against Roman oppression. They didn't understand the scriptures, the prophecies, or the plan. So they had interpreted the scriptures according to their own paradigm, and of course they lacked faith. I mean, we think God should want what we want, right? And God should rule the way we would rule. And so they had a false paradigm. They did not understand. They could not open their eyes to recognize Jesus. And the same thing happens today. False paradigms cause the same confusion today. So many people refuse to recognize the truth of Jesus. Why is that? Because to accept the truth is to admit they were wrong. To accept the truth is to deny the paradigm they have grown comfortable with. To accept the truth is to admit their life had been lived according to a lie. And the cognitive dissonance caused by the truth actually would throw them into an existential crisis. Their worldview was built on sand, not on a rock. And so when that paradigm comes crashing down, it's scary and it's not pretty. And that's when mental, emotional, and spiritual breakdowns can happen. This is the consequence of turning your God-given soul over to human dogma. You become a puppet for these godless ideas and agendas working behind the scenes. You think you have the ideas, but think again, they have you. And when they use you for their purpose, they will discard you. You can be certain of that, and you will be lucky if there's anything left of you afterwards. You see, this is what happened to Judas Iscariot. Judas sold his God-given soul for a lie. And when Satan was done with him, there was nothing left of him. Not on this side of eternity. So false paradigms will crumble. They will crash eventually when they hit the rock of truth. But the resurrection of Jesus not only shatters all worldly paradigms, it actually opens our eyes to the truth. And notice what happens in verse 25. Then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered those things to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going. And he indicated that he would have gone further. And we'll read in a moment what happens. But did you notice how Jesus opened their eyes of understanding? He was expounding. That word means explaining the mystery from Moses and the prophets, all pointing to him. So the resurrection of Jesus is a paradigm-shattering historical event, but it's also the key that unlocks the scriptures and opens our eyes to the truth. And Jesus goes from Moses to the prophets, explaining that it was all pointing towards him. Jesus is the seed of the woman whose heel was bruised, who crushed the serpent's head. Jesus is the blessing of Abraham to all nations, the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the voice from the burning bush. He's the Passover lamb. He's the prophet greater than Moses. He's the Savior whose hands were pierced from Psalms 22. He's the good shepherd of Psalms 23. He's the suffering servant of Isaiah 53. And he's the Messiah spoken of in Daniel, who would establish a kingdom that will never be destroyed, an eternal kingdom that will never end. This was the mystery that the angels and the prophets desired to know, how Jesus would ultimately defeat Satan, sin, and death. And so the resurrection of Jesus actually opens our eyes to the truth of Jesus' mission and opens our eyes to the truth of Jesus' resurrection. So verse 28, then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?" So they arose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And they told about the things which had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. They still didn't know that this was Jesus alive from the dead. But as Jesus taught them from Scripture, as Jesus was telling them how the Messiah was going to be rejected and would suffer before entering into glory, and as his pierced hands broke the bread right in front of them, their hearts were burning and their eyes were opened, and they recognized this was Jesus, risen from the dead. You see, the resurrection of Jesus is the key that opens our eyes to the truth. God exists, and nothing is impossible for God. There is life after death. He can bring the dead back to life. Death is not the end, it is the beginning. And every person that has ever lived and died in history is alive right now. The resurrection opens our eyes to the truth that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is King with all authority in heaven and on earth. The truth that God wins. The devil does not have the last day. Death doesn't have the last say. And the paradigms of the world all lead to death. God leads to life. And one day all the graves will be opened and the dead will rise at his voice. The resurrection of Jesus opens our eyes to the scriptures, to the truth. And yet some still refuse to believe because it doesn't fit their paradigm. Do you remember the rich man and Lazarus? The rich man who lived in luxury believed a false paradigm. And when he opened his eyes in torment, that's when he realized. That's when his paradigm came crashing down. Now, he wanted Lazarus to go back and warn his brothers so they wouldn't experience the torment he experienced. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. And the rich man said, no, Abraham, if they have Moses and the prophets, but if they will listen to someone who comes back from the dead, then they'll believe. And Abraham says, if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, then they won't believe even if one comes back from the dead. This man's paradigm was totally destroyed because he built his house on the sand. He built it on a lie. And Jesus came back from the dead, and there are hard hearts who still can't see. And yet, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe that? Is that going to fit in your paradigm? You going to be able to handle that truth? Martha believed. She believed. And Jesus raised her brother from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus is a paradigm-shattering historical fact. The resurrection of Jesus opens our eyes to the truth. And the resurrection of Jesus is the one thing that gives hope in a world of despair. You see, because of the resurrection, we don't have to be troubled by fear and doubt. Look at what Jesus says. He appears. As they went back to Jerusalem, they met with the other disciples. And look at verse 36. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, have you any food here? So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding. He opened their minds, that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Jesus gave them some final instructions to wait for the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem, and then he ascended to the Father. You see, because of the resurrection, we don't have to be troubled by fear and doubt anymore. The first thing Jesus says is peace to you. He explains to them the reality of the resurrection. He shows them his hands, his wounds, and he asks if there's anything to eat in order to show that it was he who actually was crucified. He still had the wounds. He came out of the grave in the same body, raised from the dead, and he ate in their presence so that they could see that it was truly him. So he explains to them the reality of the resurrection. He explains how the suffering of the cross was necessary. And he explains the hope that is now shared with all the nations of the world. Jesus defeated Satan, sin, and death at the cross for us. You see, the Pharaohs are gone. The Herods are gone. The Caesars, the dictators, all the corrupt rulers of the kingdoms of men, all the tyrants who persecuted God's people, they're all gone. But Jesus is alive forevermore right now at the right hand of God. And now we don't have to fear death. We can be alive in Christ. Death was an enemy. But now for the Christian, death is just a door. The darkest door that leads to the brightest light. So because of the resurrection, we don't have to be troubled by fear and doubt. And because of the resurrection, we are not alone. Jesus said, "Behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." He's with his disciples, alive from the dead. He says, "I will always be with you." And since Jesus is alive forevermore, he is with his people forevermore. Remember, he said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." You see, we will never be alone when we are in Christ. And his blood created an eternal family of God, the church. So we have each other, which is why the disciples gathered together. And because Jesus is alive, he is making intercession for us right now at the right hand of God. Notice Romans 8:33. "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." He is our eternal high priest at the right hand of God, making intercession for us by his blood. And so we don't have to fear. We are not alone. And because of the resurrection, Jesus has prepared an eternal dwelling place for us. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." They didn't want Jesus to leave, but it was necessary. It was necessary for Jesus to ascend after his resurrection to be our mediator and our intercessor at the right hand of God, to be enthroned as king with all authority in heaven and on earth, that's Revelation 5, and to prepare an eternal dwelling place for his people. Yes. Yes, their hearts burned within them as Jesus taught them from the scriptures. Must have been the most amazing Bible study ever. Their eyes were opened to see the truth of Jesus' resurrection. And many eyes have been opened since to the love of Christ. Napoleon Bonaparte actually wrote in prison about Jesus. And he said, "Across the chasm of 1800 years, Jesus Christ makes a demand which is beyond all others difficult to satisfy. He asks for that which a philosophy may often seek in vain at the hands of his friends, or a father of his children, or a bride of her spouse, or a man of his brother. He asks for the human heart. He will have it entirely to himself. He demands it unconditionally, and his demand is granted. Its powers and faculties become an annexation to the empire of Christ. All who sincerely believe in him experience that supernatural love toward him. This phenomena is unaccountable. It is altogether beyond the scope of man's creative powers. Time, the great destroyer, can neither exhaust its strength nor put a limit to its range. Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and I have founded empires. But on what did we rest the creations of our genius? Upon force. Jesus Christ founded his empire upon love, and at this hour, millions of men would die for him. The life of Jesus is the true expression of God's nature. The death of Jesus, the supreme expression of God's love, and the resurrection of Jesus, the proof of eternal life. You see, he died for us, so we live for him. We died for him in baptism, and now he lives in us in the Spirit. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. He died for us, so we live for him. We died for him in baptism, and he lives in us in the Spirit. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Your answer to that question will essentially determine your eternity. It needs to be taken serious, the answer that you will give. May God bless you in your answer.